Well, giving to get is just plain biblically wrong. Now, there is a half-truth behind almost every believable heresy, and that's what makes it dangerous. Scripture certainly does say in Malachi 3, an often quoted passage, you know, that, hey, bring in your tithes and offerings, and notice it's not just tithes. People often say, well, in the Old Testament it was tithe, in the New Testament it's free will offerings. No, in the Old Testament, free will offerings were a very common part of what they did, and said, don't rob God by withholding your tithes and your free will offerings, which meant that you could actually rob God, you could tithe and still rob God, because he's leading you to give these free will offerings and you're holding back on them. But that passage says, but no, go ahead, don't withhold, do the tithe, do the free will offering, and watch what God is going to do. He's going to fill your barns. He's going to bless you. And this is an appeal back to Deuteronomy in terms of the blessings and the curse, and generosity is blessed, and stinginess is cursed. It's an appeal to Proverbs, you know, wisdom and foolishness. The wise thing to do is to be generous. The foolish thing to do is to be stingy. And that's a great principle, but it's not a set in stone promise that if you do this much, God will bless you exactly this much, because there is such a thing as sacrificial giving. It would not be sacrificial if it all automatically, all the time, comes back to you. And so, yes, the poor widow gives everything she has, and God, we know, takes care of her the next day, but it does not mean that the poor widow became the wealthy widow. And certainly then you see that in the New Testament also. You see Jesus in Luke 6 saying that in the measure you give, so it will be given back to you, and it'll be flowing over, spilling out of your lap. So some people go, ah, that's the key to prosperity, is if I just give this away, then I'll get this much back, the hundredfold blessing, and all of that. Well, we see the Macedonian Christians in 2 Corinthians 8, and we're told that they live in extreme poverty, but in their great generosity, they have given way beyond, above and beyond their means. Now, does it say that the poor Macedonians who live in actually extreme poverty are no longer poor? No. They're sacrificially giving, and God will indeed bless them. But the blessings are often in the form of personal contentment, joy, knowing that you have invested in eternity, knowing, yes, that God will still take care of you, and knowing great is your reward in heaven, which Jesus says in Luke 6, you know, you're blessed when people persecute you and speak evil against you, and blessed are the poor. Well, why? Because great is your reward in heaven. So that's the shortcoming of prosperity theology. There is truth to God is going to ultimately give his children health and wealth. It's in heaven. It's in the resurrection. You can count on it. You're going to be healthy, and you're going to be wealthy in the sense of having all that you need for all eternity. But in this life, God calls us to be faithful people who give sacrificially, and it doesn't mean if you give sacrificially that your business will never lose money. It doesn't mean your house will never burn down. There just are not those kind of guarantees attached to the treasures of this life. What we're promised is that we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven that will be enjoyed in the form of eternal reward in the life to come.